house.
Our house.
All right.
Hi.
Hi, hello, and welcome to a new episode of Worst Collection Ever here on Sideshow Network, brought to you by Comics on Comics, where the greatest comic minds meet the greatest minds in comics. I'm Sean.
And I'm Jen.
And hello, and thank you for joining us, as always, where we go through our collection of comic books that we buy for cheap.
Yay!
And have quite the discussions about them. Because they're awful, and some of them, I feel this time around, because these are brand new comics that
we
bought.
Yes, they are. Brand new, as of yesterday.
Straight out of Dollar Bin from good old House of Secrets here in L.A., or Burbank, to be exact. And we are going to talk about some of these. And I feel very, I just feel very, like, appropriate for...
You mean to appropriate for this podcast? I thought you meant, like, appropriate for comic books in general.
No, they're not at all.
I might have... I'm
going to agree with that, too. I think there's no reason for these
to... Oh, but they definitely belong in our collection.
So we got some good ones, and first we're going to start with today.
I think we should start with this one.
Yeah, let's start with Damage Control, which was a Marvel miniseries from 1989.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Damage Control, the tagline is, when superheroes... Copyright. Or, sorry. What's the R stand for? There's copyrights to C. It's R.
I don't remember.
Thing. So, anyways, it's reserved.
Sure.
When superheroes need help, they call Damage Control.
Yep.
Because these are the guys that clean up the shit mess that is left when superheroes destroy everything.
Yes. Break buildings, knock shit down, plot holes. You know, all that fun stuff superheroes have a tendency to do.
Right. But now, thinking about this, like, you really, to be honest, in this book itself, I've seen maybe three people actually doing any work.
Yes.
And you would think that given the amount of the destruction that happens in
a
city.
Well, especially just even in this book, there's a lot of destruction.
You would think it's, like, a big deal. Like, you're going to need, like, every person, like, every guy.
Yeah, it was, like, five people.
Yeah, there's, like, five people, like, cleaning up a mess at the World Trade Center, which...
Sad.
By the way, very sad. If you are affected by 9/11, you know, by the images of 9/11, don't read this book.
I think all forever, for any of us who were old enough to experience 9/11, it will always be sad to just see any old media that depicts the towers. Because then you're like, oh.
But specifically in this one.
Well, this one, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to it. So.
But written by Dwayne McDuffie.
Dwayne McDuffie, yeah. Dwayne McDuffie, R.I.P. Dwayne McDuffie. Yet another sad instance.
Right, because that makes me really sad.
Yeah, because Dwayne McDuffie... You know, of course, known for writing the Justice League and just many, the cartoons and just a part of many great things in the DC Comics universe.
Mm-hmm.
And also, for his work with the Milestone universe and everything.
Yep.
And he's no longer with us, so it's a bummer. But he did write this. So this is,
fun.
It's a pretty whimsical book. So it starts off with...
Avengers.
Spider-Man and the Avengers.
So we got some Thor.
You got Thor, you got...
She-Hulk,
you got Black Knight. And, those are the only ones that showed up. And Spider-Man. I think Spider-Man may have been a part of the Avengers.
When was Black Knight?
Black Knight.
Is an Avenger?
Yeah, he's been around for years.
Is he like Shining Knight in the DC?
No, he's a bit more.
At least a little cooler than Shining Knight?
He's not as. He's a bit cooler. His real name is Dane Whitman, which every time I think of that, I always think like Dane Cook, the Avenger.
Well, so it's like Dane Cook and Dick Whitman?
Dick Whitman, yeah, that's right.
So it would be like if John Hamm and Dane Cook became one person.
Right.
That's really sad.
And he walks around.
John Hamm's great. And Dane Cook's not so great.
Well, somebody was like, well, we need the best and the worst, so how do we put this together?
Put them together and call him a knight. Okay.
Call him a knight. He has an ebony sword. And actually, I look at this first page here.
She-Hulk?
She-Hulk's, yeah. Like, you know, getting attacked by, it's the Tinkerer's robot.
Yeah, so it's a giant robot.
Giant robot that's in like Manhattan that is smashing a bunch of stuff, and it apparently transforms into things, and if you chop it up and whatever, it just changes to something else.
Yeah.
And She-Hulk's getting attacked, and she thinks in her head, "For this, I went to law school."
Yeah.
Like, I love that this is the moment. And now, mind you, She-Hulk's been around for, like, ever.
Yeah.
You know, and just now she's kind of, like, lamenting her superhero career.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at this point she has her own book. You know, I mean, you know, maybe she should be a bit more, kind of more accepting of her, her life choices.
I just like that it's worded like an old, like, 1940s, like, you know, old Jewish man. Thing. Like, for this I went to law school type of thing. Like, it's just funny that it's worded that way.
So
there's crashing and, like, buildings are getting knocked over.
So what happens is Spider-Man gets inside of the mouth of this robot.
Yeah, he goes inside.
And he shuts it down from the inside. However,
he gets stuck.
He's unable to get out. Of this man mouth, and so before we figure out Spider-Man's fate, we see what's this guy's name?
Oh, I forget.
Dipshit.
John McSquarejaw.
Porter. Yeah. Porter, I think. I'll just call him Porter.
I like John McSquarejaw.
Porter's first day at Damage Control. He heads over to the office, and he's
very square jawed and big eyebrowed and.
Yeah, very, very...
And he meets, I don't know what the fuck's wrong with that woman. Like, the secretary lady who's just, like, on the phone talking about how hot she is, and then, like, every pose of her is just, like, boobs, legs, oh,
like she's
so great, oh my god, so beautiful, and you're just like, okay.
Yeah, so she has
nothing else to do.
She's doing a good job.
To show off her tits panel.
Him meeting Wrecking Ball. Yeah. Or, no, sorry, Thunderball. Excuse me. He even gets it wrong. He calls him Wrecking Ball. But yes. It's Thunderball from the Destruction Crew.
He likes to steal stuff.
He has a enchanted Wrecking Ball that he shows up, and apparently he threw it into a building, and he wasn't able to get it because he ran away.
Yeah, so he's, trying to get, like, reclaim it from their Lost and Found. But I have a feeling this is, like, a seed for a future book because he's like, yeah, I just want my Wrecking Ball back, but I'm assuming it just has money shoved in it. Because he was trying to rob a bank when he threw
it. I don't think he shoves money.
Yeah, no. This, you look at how shady he is. Like, it's so obvious that he's... See, he's like, oh, yeah, you're just... Yeah, you're trying to get this thing. He's like, not exactly. And then he's like, oh, Lost and Found, that's weird. But I think what happened is he was like, he threw his Wrecking Ball... It had money in it, and I think that's going to be something that you see in another book. That's my prediction.
Well, that's true.
Just of the way he's acting really shady, it's kind of weird that this guy who robs banks is also taking part in this organization.
Right.
Because he lost something.
Yeah. No, this is...
So, yeah, there's something going on there.
So Mr. Porter is having his day at work, you know, and there's a lot of boring shit.
Yeah, and he meets this woman who's supposed to help him, and she hates him because I guess she was up for his job and they didn't give it to her.
Boo-hoo.
So she's upset, and then there's, like, a guy who's crying.
Because his building got smashed.
Well, yeah, and so apparently
it's all his fault or something, like, because he's worried he's going to get fired.
I'm not exactly sure how one can get fired if a superhero knocks a robot into your building.
Well, he's a civil servant. He's, like, thinking this guy's having a day, and then we get to see what his problem is that the Tinkerer's robot is lying destroyed.
It fell into the tower.
Or not destroyed, but it fell into the World Trade Center towers.
Both of them, and it's just leaning up against him, and they're all cracked.
They're not knocked over.
No, but it is. It's a full splash page, so when you turn it, you're just like, aww.
It's actually a really horrifying vision here.
It's a really terrifying image, which I'm sure when it was written was supposed to be funny. And, like, now you look at it and you're just like, oh, it's just...
There's a giant robot, probably the size of umpteen city blocks.
Yeah, it's really big.
And he's just lying like he's taking a nap,
like,
amongst
all over these buildings.
The financial district, including, you know, on his pillow. is the World Trade Centers.
Yeah.
And I don't like it.
It's really depressing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's so sad. Just like, and like literally where it's cracked is like where one of the planes would have hit. It's just a very upsetting image.
Yeah. No, we're not.
Again, not intentional when it was written, obviously, to be sad. It was probably supposed to be funny, but it didn't. Doesn't work now.
So we cut back to the Avengers as they are trying to get Spider-Man out, and nothing is happening. You know, both.
Yeah, for some reason, Spider-Man is stuck in this head, and no one can get him out. Like Thor, like whacking the robot, can't get him out, and I don't know exactly why he just can't go out the mouth because it's still open. But
maybe he can't. I'm trying to figure. He's saying you. Because the alien repairs itself, so it's still like an active robot of sorts.
Yeah, but a mouth should still be a mouth.
Right, he should still be able to get out the way he came in.
Right, I'm confused why he can't.
You know, maybe I don't know why they're not trying to go through the mouth to get him out.
That would make sense because it's hanging open.
But apparently, the Avengers get some sort of
call
about the reason why the robot's round. So they go to investigate
like peace,
it.
And Spider-Man just, like, hangs out with the robot.
Spider-Man's just like, fuck. I can't. Cause and they're like, hey, well, maybe I'll just mess with the controls. They're like, no, you could reactivate the monster.
Yeah. Just hang out there, will you? Somebody will get you out eventually.
Lay around. Yeah, you won't worry about it. And then we're back to the office where Tits McGee is on the phone.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
I told you. That's all she does. It's just like,
this one panel is probably
butts.
33 points. Third percent tits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're like up around her neck. I don't know how she swallows. Like, I'm surprised she's not suffocating. It's just tits. Because that's the secretary lady. So anyway, so what's his name? Thunderball gets his ball.
Thunderball gets his ball with probably his money in it. And then the other guy, you know, Porter's starting to talk to. I think the idea is that he's trying to help out this guy that's crying.
Yeah, the civil servant who's worried about losing his job because a robot fell into the tree.
He literally says, wah.
Yeah, he does.
Wah. Just sitting there going, wah.
He's really upset. He's just crying this whole time.
You know, and so he has a Porter, since it's his first day, he's like, well, you know what? I have an idea. Maybe I'll go down to the tech department and see if we can maybe
fix this
in some way. You know, and some of the tech guy can help me with. So, anyway, so there was another smashy somewhere, and the cleanup crew is doing something, and you know, is cleaning up. And I guess this happens a lot. This is actually kind of funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
Where one of the clean guys that's cleaning is like, "Hey, look at this glowing ball! Wow, this is neat." And you know, and his boss is like,
"Don't touch it, bro."
Don't touch it, bro. And the guy's like, "Wait a minute. I'm huge now," and he turns into like a green like, kind of Hulk.
Like a Hulk looking guy, because even like he has no shirt and his pants are ripped, and he's like, "I have power, yay!" And he like jumps away, and the boss is just like, "Great,"
because he's like, "My destiny lies elsewhere. Fuck off!"
Yeah, and he just like leaves because he flies away.
And I like it because he calls the girl, he calls the girl that hates our lead guy, and he just goes, "No, I could use a tech team here. Just one of my man just had an origin."
I also like the page before where he's thinking, after he says, like, great, like, after the guy, like, flies away, he goes, he's thinking, we lose more workers that way.
Yeah, which actually kind of makes really sense funny. That, you know, you would think that would be an appropriate way to gain superhero powers is if you're kind of on a cleanup crew and you're like, hey, what's this gun? You know, what's this weapon? What's this microchip I could probably use. I mean, that probably is where a lot of supervillains start.
Sure. They origin the fuck out.
They origin the fuck out. That's basically what happens. So, anyways, so this giant robot is hanging out. Spider-Man's still trapped inside.
And they're trying to get him out, but, like, this girl's working with another guy, like, not Square Jaw, like, working with some guy with glasses on who I guess also works for this agency.
Well, he's the tech guy.
No, he's not the tech guy.
Yeah, he is. He's the same tech guy from before. They brought him to the site.
No. There's the tech guy that Square Jaw was working with.
Oh, wait, that guy. Okay, never mind. I know
and
this
then the
guy
who's wearing a headset and glasses.
Yeah, that guy.
I don't know who that guy is.
He's purple for some reason, or gray.
Yeah.
And, I'm assuming he's maybe...
He's like their lawyer, right? Yeah. I feel like he's a lawyer. And before they let him, like, the tech guy try to, like, get Spider-Man out, they're like, wait, we have to call. and find out if this is okay. Like, if
he needs
sued, if Spider-Man gets hurt. So they call, and, like, you see him on the phone, and he's like, all right, you're all morons, because apparently he has to sign a waiver. Spider-Man has to sign a waiver before they can try to get him out. And they're like, how is that possible? We can't get to him.
Yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous.
So anyway, so dude, Tech Man gets our Porter friend a special doohickey that signals a robot to live.
Transform, I guess.
Transform, and then since this robot is a malleable device, this thing or whatever, it turns into a small car.
Like a Volkswagen.
Like a Volkswagen. This giant robot turns into a small car.
I don't even know how you could fit all that robot into a car. Because that's a really big
robot. It was doing a bunch of stuff. It was regenerating things and all that stuff. So, I mean, whatever. Sure. You know, I'll believe it. So it ends up turning into a car.
And they're like, oh my God.
And this is the funny thing is like they, the next panel, they're like, oh shit, you've killed Spider-Man.
Because he was still in there.
And that's what I thought too. I was like,
that's what I thought too. I was like,
Spider-Man should be dead as fuck. He's a piece of whatever, and he just happens to be in the trunk.
He's in the trunk, and he's like, you guys are assholes.
That's pretty much what he says. He's like, peace the fuck out, you assholes.
Yeah, he's like, guys, I could have been smashed. He's like, but you weren't. So then they all get into robot car and like drive it to their warehouse where they keep all the stuff.
Yeah, and then Porter Man gets to have a date with the girl he hates, I guess, or they go for a drink because it's the first day.
Yeah.
And they're trying to...
They decide to be friends.
And then I think it's the cleaner-upper guy.
Yeah.
They fixed the World Trade Centers, but it's a little crooked.
It's not just a little crooked. It's really crooked.
It's really crooked.
The top is not on properly.
And he's just looking at it like,
not good enough.
It's 11 World Trade Centers.
And it's, like, really crooked.
It's the fuck. Please,
it's really
if
sad.
You are a New Yorker.
It's really sad.
And you were, or if you're, if you're Lee Greenwood, or somebody that was really affected by 9/11, please do not read this book.
I think Lee Greenwood would be encouraging everyone to read this book, because then they can go buy his song again. It's the only song on the radio for 4 days after 9/11.
We sold so many.
I'm sure you did.
I worked at a record store at the time, and holy shit, Lee Greenwood was like,
oh my God, Lee Greenwood probably bought like four more houses off the property.
Lee Greenwood is so rich right now, guys.
Oh God.
Because you know that.
Terrible.
I know it's terrible, but yeah, it's terrible.
It's the worst thing that happened, but Lee Greenwood's probably like also the best thing that ever happened. Look how much money I just made.
I don't know if he did any follow-ups or anything like that.
What, like a sequel to Proud to Be American?
Still Proud to Be an American. Still proud.
Still continuingly proud to be.
Always proud to be an American.
I think the next song will just be called Merca. Merca.
Merca.
And it's just like,
Merkin? What?
Yeah, it's Merkin, but it's called America. It's called America, and it's just the sound of eagles screeching.
Anyways, so this is Lee Greenwood's favorite comic.
It's fun and enjoyable.
It's fun and enjoyable. I actually kind of want to. I've seen this series, and they do. I guess like every couple of years after whatever, they would do another mini series based on this.
Mm-hmm.
And like I know at some point, like Wonder Man had a role in it, so I'm kind of intrigued by that. You know, but I mean, it's silly stuff, and you know, I would have to debate though if I want to buy more of these, because it's not really like, I mean, it's got that superhero kind of like, what is it, the meta?
It's almost kind of like the very first couple episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. almost.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, like, that's a good description.
Okay.
So that's Damage Control Volume 1, Number 1 from. 1989? May 1989.
Yep.
Have at it.
Mm-hmm.
America.
So maybe you've got a great idea for a business and want to start selling your products or services online. Maybe you're an established business owner looking for new customers, or maybe you're interested in starting a personal website. No matter who you are, GoDaddy wants to help you succeed online. Right now, GoDaddy is offering a .com domain for just $1.49. It's go time. Start your website today. Visit GoDaddy.com and enter promo code COMICS149. That's COMICS149 to get your $1.49.com. Some limitations apply. See website for details.
It's a good song.
It's great.
So we're back.
America! Sorry, what? I'm sorry. We can't help ourselves sometimes.
Well, you know, you're in a
we're Americans. We get to yell America really fucking loud for no reason whatsoever.
I've earned that right.
It's our birthright, damn it.
I don't know. Do other countries get to do that often?
I don't think other countries are quite as jingoistic as we are.
Well, I mean, but do they just... I mean, I know that they're very proud of their country, but I mean, do like...
Like, outside of, like, a soccer game? I don't know. I don't know if, like, people just walk around randomly being like, Ireland! Or, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Outside a soccer game. But, like, on a random Saturday night outside a bar in anywhere USA, there is some drunk bro screaming about America.
America in general.
Just in general. Just being like, America, yeah! And, like, chugging a beer and, like, smashing on his forehead.
Yes.
I don't know why.
Yeah, that's how this country works,
that's
guys.
That's how we work, okay?
I know one of our biggest listeners is in England, so, you know.
Yeah, we can't explain it. Why America is so America.
He's more than welcome to fill us in if you guys just walk around screaming United Kingdom or England or wherever, you know, yeah, however
wherever,
that works.
Wherever, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Do you guys do that, too? I'm assuming. I know that when I was, I went to, like, a summer program at some college, and I met two people from the UK, and they were just blown away by how many flags we have, because they're like on every building, every corner, we have like a flagpole, and they're like, why do you guys have so many flags? And I'm like, I don't know. I really don't. We just have a lot of
flags. It just feels right.
America. Okay.
So speaking of America.
I'm so excited. We bought this comic yesterday in the dollar bin. The minute I saw it, I was like, we have to buy this.
Well, because you've been on the hunt for this.
No, I wasn't on the hunt for this.
We kind of were.
I had never had any intention of buying it because I never thought I would find it.
See, I find that hard to believe because this is probably a very common book. It's just we haven't seen it often enough.
I've never seen it before. So this book, particular issue of Action Comics.
Action Comics, Volume 1. Issue 593 is from October 1987.
Yes, and this is a very infamous issue because it has a tendency to end up on every single list of worst Superman comics ever. Worst things Superman's ever done on Newsarama. It's been on Cracked. It's been on
IO9. Yep.
So it always makes these lists because this is the issue in which Superman and Big Barda film a porno.
See, actually, I have some confusion
some questions get into.
There's a lot of questions in this book.
But that is what happens in this book, we think. Let's get into it. I had to buy this. I was like, yes!
No. I'm glad that we...
I'm so happy. This is the Superman Big Barda film a porno issue. So let's get into it.
Yeah. So basically... Okay, so it starts off with Mr. Miracle and Oberon coming home.
Yep, coming home.
Coming home and...
to find Darkseid sitting in his living room.
So, actually, I have a question about even right away. The title of the story is The Suicide Snare.
Mm-hmm.
And aside from, like, a few references of where the of the area of Metropolis where they go, the suicide slum, I don't quite understand how this is a suicide-themed book.
Well, there is a suicide in this book.
Oh, well, I mean, okay.
But besides that, I don't understand why it's even called the Suicide Snare.
Right.
Because it's not trying to make anybody kill themselves. It's very weird.
So Mr. Miracle shows up at home with Oberon. Apparently they all live together.
And Darkseid's just hanging out on his recliner, drinking a decant, like a little glass of scotch.
I like that he's into scotch. Like, yeah. I wonder if he just was like...
Is this what people drink? Or maybe he's not drinking scotch. Maybe he's just drinking something out of
the canter. I'm going to go with it's probably going to be some scotch.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling the dark side would want only the best, while everybody else suffers.
But do you think on Apocalypse that they have?
They might have a version of scotch. I bet it's made from like the blood of children. But I'm sure that there's something.
Yeah.
Okay. And whatever it is, he enjoys it. So he's partaking in Earth Fare.
He's having a snifter.
Having a snifter. So Darkseid, and of course Mr. Miracle's like, what the fuck are you even doing here? And like, Darkseid's like, oh, I came to show you this. And he pulls out a VHS.
Well, because it's 1987. I bet that VHS cost him $50.
Probably did. And he,
thankfully, Mr. Miracle has a VHS player.
Well, he's got a VCR. So that he's
well, it's 1987. I had one in 86. Oh, yeah. I watched Rambo First Blood Part 2 on it. Uh-huh. So that was a... So I figured, you know, Mr. Miracle probably got one from the League.
Sure.
Because he was in Justice League at the time, so.
Yeah, Batman gave him one.
Batman
gave everybody VCRs for Christmas.
Like, oh, yeah, just, you know, whatever.
Yeah, they just
buy everybody VCRs.
Everybody gets a VCR.
Bruce Wayne's buying all the VCRs. What a great man.
Back then, they were pretty expensive.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. Because back then, the VHS tape probably cost like $50. Because when you would like look it up, like I used to read TV Guide, like video reviews. And it would be like, retail, VHS is like $40-$50. I'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no.
I used to rent them for much cheaper.
Oh, yeah, but you could rent them at the grocery store back then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyways, VHS.
He pops it on in. Yeah. And he's like, check this out. And this is my favorite... Because the face on Mr. Miracle, it's like four panels of Mr. Miracle just looking, and then he squints, and then he's like, oh my god, because apparently it is a videotape of Big Barda having sex.
See, now that's the thing. Is she just having sex with somebody? She's not having sex with Superman.
Right, though. I think in this particular tape, she's just having sex with somebody.
Yeah.
I do not know who. And he's like...
Hopefully, yours probably is probably, you know,
he's like,
creepy.
Is that Barda? I don't... Like, and Oberon's like, is that her? I barely recognize her under that makeup. What's she? And then he's like, there's just fucking, basically.
What is... I want to see what Darkseid's face looks like while during all this.
He looks like he's smirking.
Is he just like, yeah.
And he refers to this as a televisual feast.
Yeah, I know. He actually uses that quite a bit. There's a... The word feast is used, actually, I think, another time in this book.
Yeah.
And what is it? He's like, he says something to the fact that it's like a shop, you know, he tells him where the porno shop is.
He's like, oh, it's a place that specializes in this sort of thing. And it's in Metropolis on a place called Hobbs Lane. And he's like, oh, that's on the edge of Suicide Slum, which I was not aware that Metropolis had a Suicide Slum.
It would make sense. I mean, it's a huge city.
Yeah, but I always thought that was more like a Gotham thing. Because he's like, oh, it's gross, it's nasty, we gotta go, you know, do that.
Ew, gross, I gotta go to the valley.
Yeah, kind of, I gotta go to the valley. So then we cut to this, like, dude, porn dealer guy.
He's a porn man, he looks like a porn man. Looks like, you know, he's got the goatee, the big dark frame glasses, the balding hair.
With comb over. And so this little guy, like, busts in his office, and you can tell he's not human. He's, like, green.
But it's funny, because nobody's, like, not...
But this guy doesn't seem to care. I mean, maybe because this tape of Bard was making him a lot of money, because the orders are coming in, and so he calls him Mr. Smith, and he's like,
So is it because, like, because Barda is, like, an Amazon-style chick?
Yeah.
And is like, has that never been done before in porno up to this point? Is that we're assuming?
Well, I mean, I'm assuming maybe it's because she's a member of the Justice League and people are like, oh my god, that chick from the Justice League is fucking. Like, the same reason that people would buy, like, Pam Anderson's sex tape or whatever. So maybe that's the idea.
It was your first celebrity sex tape.
Yeah, sure. Something like, it's a celebrity sex tape, basically. So he's like, oh, this is so great. We're going to make tons of money. And it's going to get better. And here walks in Superman. Who is under the control of this guy, his name is Sleaze. He's, like, mind-controlling him?
Yeah, he controls, like, through the base emotions of somebody.
Yeah.
So he's able to, like, hypnotize him in some way. And I guess from what I understand, and this happened in the previous issue, that he knocked out Superman with Barda's
like fight rod.
Yeah, her stick.
Her stick, which apparently I'm surprised because I mean I guess that's necessary enough, you know. I mean, who's? I mean, I don't know. I mean, Superman just kind of.
Well, like it's a
you know, knocked out.
Well, yeah, but it's like a weapon from Apocalypse and stuff, so maybe it is powerful enough to knock him out.
I guess so.
So anyway, he gets knocked out, and now he's under the control of this guy. And they're like, "Here's my," and he's like, "All right, here's my pitch: Superman with his co-star Big Barda, who is also under the control."
So let me ask this: what does Sleaze require from why? Yeah, like he's bringing like he first of all he's like, yeah, we're gonna make a bunch of money, you know, me and Come Over Man.
Yeah, but
which I mean, I don't.
He's trying to raise an army, and I don't know why.
Okay, that's right.
Because he says that will be enough to make the money I need to forge my army. But if he can just like control people mentally, like why?
Why is he not doing it full scale? Why does he need to do porno first?
Because apparently he can do two at once.
And you can do Superman on top of that. I mean, Superman's pretty much all you need.
Well, yeah, you got Superman and Big Barda, and instead of using them as your army, you're going to make them fuck.
Well, that sounds like something. I think he's kind of speaking to the comic book. You know, if a comic book nerd were to have that power, he'd probably be like, "Yeah, well, let's see this go on."
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, so Barda.
Maybe this is like a commentary on somebody writing fan fiction about comic book characters fucking.
Right.
Or, I don't know, one of those, like, offshoot porno mags. Like, because you can find those on the internet. You know, people who have drawn art of certain of any character. It exists anywhere. Any character fucking.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what this is. I don't know.
So Mr.
It's very weird, though.
So Mr. Miracle finds his way to Suicide Slum.
Yes. After we get a little...
We get his origin.
We get his origins. He origins the fuck out.
He does origin the fuck out.
So we get the story of him. And then he lands in Suicide Slum. And he's like, I'm not in immediate danger. And then he's besieged by hobos. Like, literally, they're all, like, disheveled. And they just start beating him with sticks.
They beat him with sticks. They throw him in a bag. They chain him up. They throw him in a dumpster, and they're just like,
fill
it. And it's just funny because they're like, fill it with trash, more trash. Ah, they're just throwing trash on them.
Yeah.
And then they throw it off of a pier, which apparently was right there, but the hobo slum is right near the water.
Yeah. So they seal it up and they throw them in the water, and that's the end. And this confused me until I read further. Because then all you see is Mr. Miracle going in. And then the next page, he just goes, oh, there was no danger. And he's on a rooftop.
Because, well, I
assumed he got out, but I was surprised we didn't get to see it.
Well, this will just be explained later. I assumed that it's Mr. Miracle, and he's, you know, he gets out of way worse shit
than a hobo attack. I was just really, really surprised that they didn't spend any time on it. Obviously, you find that out later, but I was like, do we really need that? When I first read this, I was like, do we really need that many more panels of Superman and Big Barda fucking? Apparently, yes, we do.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's out, and then... So now we're with that creepy guy with the comb over on set with Superman and Big Barda. They're sitting on a bed together and he's yelling at them because there's no passion.
Well, they're not even doing anything.
They're just holding. I mean, they're wearing their costumes and like just like kind of holding each other by the shoulders.
But are they kissing? Are they just even like...
At this point, no.
Are they even
they
like...
They do right, see right here they are, but ooh, like not here. He's just like got her at arm's length.
And he's like, you just like sitting there going...
Ah. He's like, I want raw seething emotion. And then he turns to Sleaze and he says, Superman's got all the sex appeal of a side of beef. Poor Superman.
You know, if that was Batman, he'd get the job done.
He'd already be done. Are you kidding? And then
he would have done it for free.
Yeah, he would.
He would have done it without mind control.
Yeah, he didn't need mind control. He's like, well, fucking yeah, okay. But like, Sleaze is like, he's resisting me. I have to keep trying to make him do this. So he's trying to get him to do it. You can see like Superman has like sweat on his face because he's trying to resist this guy.
Yeah.
And then they go back to it, and they're, like, kissing on the bed, and, like, Mr. Miracle sees them, of course, through the skylight, because there's always a skylight.
Yeah, because, well, they need good natural light.
Yeah. Who's the cameraman?
I am assuming it is the same comb-over guy, because there is a camera on a tripod, but it's comb-over guys operating it.
You think he'd be able to mind control a crew?
Well, you'd think camera
in a place that's not with a skylight?
There's got to be some dudes who just need some work, you know?
It's Metropolis. I'm certain there you can go on Craigslist and find a few guys.
Like, even some students or whatever who just need the experience.
At the AFI Institute in Metropolis.
Yeah, or whatever.
You can work on a porno featuring Superman.
Yeah. You just need some below-the-line guys, like, to help you set up the lighting. And there's not even anybody holding a boom.
I could, if he registered for Mandy.com, he would be able to get a number of things. Actually, I have friends at Emerson that would be willing to take this on the cheap. I could probably
send an email out. Kids at Emerson.
At the Emerson College.
Absolutely do this. Yeah, any film college anywhere would be like, I will
New York Film Academy
operate your fucking camera while you fuck, like
Columbia College of Chicago.
As long as I can put it on my resume.
The new school, you know, that actually this would be
we
kind
pay
of
pay you an experience.
Yeah, they're paying up that's an experience, all right. See, Superman's alien dick, you know.
I'm sure it looks like a regular dick.
Well, it's true. We did the per Man of Steel, you know, the movie Man of Steel. You do see the baby.
With the regular baby,
and you see with a regular baby body, and you're just like, all right, well, I guess that's true now. You know, accepting this.
Let me explain, because before we saw Man of Steel, Sean didn't believe me that Superman has a dick, and I said, but he looks completely human. Why wouldn't he have a dick?
Like, but he's an alien.
But he's a humanoid alien. Everything else about him is normal. Why would that one thing be abnormal?
Well, how do you know that other things aren't abnormal too? How do you know he doesn't have an asshole?
I would assume Superman has an asshole. If you have a mouth, you have to be able to get stuff that goes in the mouth, out the body.
Maybe they just process it. Maybe he's ever taken, has there ever been documented or drawing of Superman taking a shit?
I don't think there's been a documented drawing of any of these characters taking shits. So you can't really say that, like, any of them have assholes, if that's your criteria.
So for all we know, Batman probably doesn't have an asshole either.
All of them have assholes!
DC Comics, all of our characters have assholes.
Maybe not Martian Manhunter. I'll give you that.
He could create an asshole.
Well, that's the thing. He could probably shift into anything, but I don't know why Superman, who is completely humanoid, you would assume that he does not have the ability to have a penis.
See, I still feel that this is something that needs to be discussed further in multiple panels at Comic-Con hosted by Jeff Johns. I think Jeff Johns needs to dedicate a day just arguing people like me about this. I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Superman has an asshole. And he has a penis. God. Anyway, so he's about to put that penis to good use when Mr. Miracle busts through the skylight. And he yells cut.
Because it's a movie.
Yeah, because they're...
I need a witty reminder to stop my wife from fucking Superman.
Yeah, granted, they still have their costumes on, but I think that's only because of the drawings.
You would think so, yeah, because you'd think that, you know, since it was approved by the Comic Book Authority, that you probably would, you know, if this was real life, they would be, you know, full on nudity.
So he gets out, he's like, Sleaze is like, what? I don't understand. You couldn't have survived because I tried to have my hobos kill you. And he's like, oh, no, I got out. And he tells him how he got out. He, like, cut a hole in the bottom of the dumpster and snuck out, whatever. And so he... Sleaze is like, ah, and he, like, runs away. And but Sleaze throws an octopus at him.
He throws, like, an apocalypse octopus at him, and that
Ash crawler.
And that's at some point during this point, there's a point that his control over Barda and
Superman is gone,
so he...
So Barda kills this Ash thing by, like, ripping
his brain out.
And her hand is all covered in goo. Actually, it's awesome. You're like, good for you. And
she's like, yeah, I got this one. Okay, guys.
Like, I got it. And she just like rips this thing.
Yeah, I got it, guys. All right.
And Ms. Miracle's like, that was great. Don't you think so, Superman? And Superman's gone. He's chasing Sleaze through the sewers. And then he finds Sleaze. And he's like, all right, you know, that's it. I'm going to get you. And Sleaze, like, lights a match inside the sewer, which ignites all the methane, and it explodes. And he gets blown backwards, and there's this amazing drawing of Superman sitting in the sewer with his hair just, like, standing straight up. And he just goes, "Great Scott!"
Yeah, it just looks like... Because literally, the shit got blown apart.
Yeah, like, he got knocked backwards, everybody got exploded, his cape is in tatters.
Yeah. So Superman's, you know,
he's like, "Oh, I've had a bad day." So he goes back to apprehend Porn Man, and for somehow Big Barda has the rest of her costume. Yeah, she wasn't wearing it before, she was just wearing that bikini.
Yeah.
Now she's got the whole thing, which I don't know where that came from.
Because she wasn't wearing it, too, when they introduced her
in these books.
Like, she just showed up wearing
that bikini
thing. Which is a version, I think that's like a version of her outfit at some point.
Yeah, but this is like the whole, with like the chainmail.
Oh, yeah, this is like her full, yeah.
The whole nine. And then there's this really weird panel here at the very bottom where, like, after they're like, "Oh, well, I guess this is, you know, we figured it out." Superman and Barda are very close to each other. Their faces are just very close together. And,
yeah.
And he's like, "Barda, my memory of what happened. I mean, we..." And she's like, "It's okay. I don't remember much of what happened." And then, like, Scott's just glaring at them from the background. It's just like, look at that. It's just so weird.
Yeah, I kind of like that, actually. That's just
close. Because they're kind of, like, giving each other these eyes, and he's just like... Meh.
And the thing is, though, nothing actually did happen.
But,
I mean, Barda had got it on with somebody, but
says,
Superman...
"But it seems we, I mean, you and I..." And she goes, "Oh, say no more. My recollection is as fuzzy as yours."
Well, so are we supposed to assume that at some point before we got to them and found them, that they were already doing it?
I'm assuming that because of the way it had to be drawn, they were drawn with clothes. But I'm assuming that when Mr. Miracle bust through the skylight, they were mid-coitus.
I mean, not the way it was drawn.
It was drawn, no. But I'm assuming that's what... By this panel, that's what that leads me to believe.
It was full-on alien dick and alien vagina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then they leave. They're like, "Bye, see you guys later.
Peace.
We're just not going to talk about this." So then Clark, and I guess this must be a follow-up from whatever happened in the issue before. Clark goes to some old age home in Metropolis, and he's expecting, like, a bunch of these old people to be dead. Because I guess
I don't know why I find that funny. He's like, "How come these old people ain't dead yet?"
He's like, "They're still alive? I had money on all these people dying."
Me and Jimmy were, like, sitting around being like, "I bet those old dudes are toast." And Jimmy's like, "I bet not." And he's like, I owe Jimmy a buck.
He's gotta buy me coffee now.
We gotta go to Big Belly Burger and get her. You know, he owes me a burger at Big Belly. This is bullshit.
So
he always wins his bets.
I guess he's like, "Oh, you know, we were expecting like Sleaze," because I guess he was somehow controlling these old people too.
Those could be his army.
The old men.
Old men army. It's like Sopranos.
And he's like, "Oh, you know, he feeds on human misery and the destruction of the human spirit, and somehow he." The energy he gave off, like, makes these people live. And that life force is keeping these people alive. So that's why Superman thought they would be dead, because Sleaze is dead, therefore these men should be dead. And then it says, "But if they're still alive, ... I mean, Sleaze might be, and that's the answer.
Oh, no. Sleaze.
Yeah. It's just...
Two E's, by the way. That's how you spell it. So that's Action Comics,
that's 593,
October 1987.
That often tops some of the worst Superman comics lists.
Yeah, that was a treat to find that one.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions we had. It's fun. I can't really remember, aside from the, you know, real life, like, press covering it, you know, stuff like that, I don't know if this has ever come up again in, like, the pre... New 52
what
canon.
Do you mean, like, anybody talking about it?
Like, anybody's
it?
Like, didn't, like, you fuck Barda once?
Wasn't
you know?
That, like, didn't you guys do a porn?
Yeah, didn't you, but, like, somebody's had to have seen this video, these videos.
Right?
You know, the video, at least the video of Barda doing stuff. It's right. Gotta be out somewhere.
That's already out somewhere.
You know, and also, too, I didn't see anything where the video that was already taped of Superman, like, somebody's gonna find that tape.
Right, unless
of them.
But it didn't show him destroying it.
No. It's out there.
Yeah, I think that was one of those things that they're like, I don't know what the fuck just happened. We're never going to talk about this again.
Rightfully so.
Right, yeah.
Because, I mean, come on.
What the hell, man?
Because, guys, I mean, yeah, no, it's probably for the better.
But it's such a weird thing.
I like that John Byrne, who wrote this book, was just like, yeah, you know what? Let's do a porno.
Yeah, porn. Good idea.
You know, let's get that in there and, you know, it'll be a good time.
Yeah.
And it was.
No, it was.
So that's our show for this week.
That's it.
Thank you for listening. You can find me on Twitter at AngryHeroSean, S-H-A-W-N. Also my Tumblr, theangryhero.tumblr.com.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, jenstansfield.tumblr.com, jenstansfield.wordpress.com.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you again soon.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.